Was it easy leaving the group chat when the bubbles turned green and every message was Cam likes this and Claire dislikes that?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was, because I get enough overreacting at home.
Like liking messaging again with WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Sanziano, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father, six, the best-selling author, the Gino Eddie. Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, this is going to be fun today. We haven't done one together in a while. How are you doing?
In studio here in St. Augustine, getting ready for Multifamily Mastery 4. Really, really excited about this one. Very special guest. Today's guest is a world-renowned specialist in human behavior, research, author, and global educator. He has worked with countless billionaires and millionaires and has assisted entrepreneurs optimizing their wealth building potential. Without further ado, Dr. John DeMartini, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure. And I want to hear a little bit before we get into this stuff. I want to hear a little bit about your background and your training.
Okay. Well, today I full-time research, write, travel, and teach. Mm-hmm. I'm actually in the Bahamas right now, NASA. I just sailed in here from Bermuda.
All right.
And I full-time travel and I research, write, and teach. And consult and do webinars and podcasts. I've been teaching for 49 years. I started when I was 18. I'm 67 now. And anything to do with maximizing human awareness and potential and maximizing the fulfillment of what I call the seven areas of life, I'm committed to. And I've been on a man on a mission since I was 18. I was learned challenged as a child. And then I was able to overcome that later on at age 17, 18. And ever since then, I've had a dream to do what I'm doing. And I just work on it every day. If you stay with something long enough, you know, everybody else dies out and you end up somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So Dr. DeMartini, how is the evolution? How has it evolved from an 18-year-old all the way up to your 67 years old? All of that knowledge, what have you seen change over the last 40 or 50 years as far as technology, as far as the way we interact? Because that has a lot to do with the whole evolution of your
journey. In the early days, you sent out things by snail mail. Mm-hmm. We used to have these little cards, these yellow cards or blue cards or whatever. We'd send them out and that's all it was. And people would come to live event. Then it went to email and then it went into Facebook and, you know, the social media world. And luckily I've delegated most of that. All I do is research, write, and teach and travel. Mm-hmm. Everything else is off my plate. Mm-hmm. I don't cook. I don't drive. I don't do anything. I do administrative. I don't do anything except four things. Uh-huh. I jokingly said to my girlfriend, look, if I delegated sex to Hugh Jackman, would you still love me? And she said, I would love you even more. That's how much delegation I
do. You can't be optimizing your life if you're delegating out the sex, okay? I get having a driver, and I understand having your girlfriend make you a protein shake, but hey, you still got to have
functional intimacy, right? I love to do my seminars so much that sometimes I overlook that area, so I have to delegate. I'm just teasing.
Research. What do you love to research? What really gets you excited when you start researching a topic?
I would be classified as a polymath. There's a lot of topics. Mm-hmm. I've read over 30,600 books, and there's in all different fields and areas. So anything to do with maximizing human awareness and potential, which could be anything from chemistry to psychology to philosophy to anything that allows maximizing sex. I mean, but anything that would allow an individual to do something extraordinary with their life, I'm interested in.
So let me ask you the first question that I have really about this is, what stops people from maximizing their potential? That is the key number one. And everyone goes in fear and all this, but what have you, after 30,000 plus books you've read, what stops people? The number one thing that stops most people.
Okay. Every human being, moment by moment, lives the set of priorities, the set of values, things that are most to least important in their life. That's fingerprint specific and unique to them. Whenever they're setting objectives that are aligned and congruent to what they value most, they're intrinsically, spontaneously inspired to fulfill and achieve that, whatever that is. But if they set goals or fantasies down lower on their value list, they procrastinate, hesitate, and frustrate, and they need extrinsic motivation to get them to act upon it. Mm-hmm. I think of a boy who loves his video games. You don't need to motivate him to do his video games. Mm-hmm. But you need to motivate him to do his homework. Mm-hmm. An individual, every human being, and I mean every, I've been doing it 44 years almost on just that topic. Every human being has something that's that spontaneously inspiring. They may not be aware of it, but it's there. Finding out what that is allows them to excel. And what stops that from doing it is the comparison of their life to other people. and putting people on pedestals, minimizing themselves, thinking they're too humble to admit what they see in others inside themselves, putting them on pedestals, injecting other people's values into their life, hearing that should, I ought to, I suppose to, I got to, I have to, I must, and all the imperative language coming into their head, clouding the clarity of the natural yearning and expression of their highest value, which is where they excel, their authentic self. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they are bombarded by comparisons to people they've got on pedestals. They're minimizing themselves, self-depreciating themselves, setting up, because of the unfulfillment, amygdala-driven fantasies and unrealistic expectations to be somebody they're not, which automatically induce fear to let them know that that's not the path. All the signs and symptoms of hesitancy and fears and anxieties and, quote, this negative self-talk and all those limited beliefs and all that is simply a byproduct of not setting objectives that are truly aligned with what you value most. If you don't fill your day with high priority actions that really inspire you spontaneously, your day is designed to fill up with low priority distractions that don't. And that self-depreciates and holds people back from something that magnificent that they're capable of bringing.
You bring up something very, very interesting, and you just inspired me, because we're in the multifamily space. We own and buy apartments. We help folks do the same thing. And what social media has done to people has paralyzed them in many ways, because all of a sudden someone posts online on Facebook, I just closed a 300 unit apartment deal. Now me, I'm just trying to get started in apartments, and I see this repeatedly. Well, you don't know how many people invested on that deal. You don't know what the GP LP structure looked like. That person may be an LP partner. You don't know. And I'm not saying people don't go out and buy 300 unit apartments, but they see this online and then they start thinking less of themselves, and they start to lose the true value of what they're trying to achieve, because ultimately they're trying to create time freedom for themselves. They're trying to create a better life of abundance for themselves and their family. Meanwhile, they may be better off going and buying a 10-unit deal on their first one or something like that, getting more equity in it, and then getting closer to that life of abundance than getting lost in the minutia and the crap that's out there on Facebook, because so-and-so is driving a Lamborghini and posting up, look, I just closed 300 units. I'm the best thing since sliced bread. Folks, you need to be aware of this. And the good doctor here was talking about having self-awareness. You need to be aware that this stuff's going on and how it's impacting you, because it's not getting you any closer to your dreams or freedom or time freedom.
You said that perfectly. We're not here to compare ourselves to other people. We're here to compare our daily actions to our own priorities that are authentic within us. And small, incremental, momentum-building achievements that are strategically done will automatically go from the 10 to the 20 to the 30 to the 40 and eventually have 300. Patience is golden, and immediate gratification costs, and long-term vision pays. And what we do is we go into our amygdalas when we get sensational fantasies that people post on media. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, if you actually meet these individuals, they have another side. And you're not getting the whole picture. Mm-hmm. And when you find that out, you pop the fantasy. You know, when you work with Olympic medalist or anybody that's high achieving, you'll find out if they look at their competitors instead of look at their goal, they've already lost. All you do is concentrate on what it is that your objective is and master that and stick to the basics and stop comparing yourself to other people. I had a gentleman, a young man, he says, well, you know, I'm not going to go out and speak because compared to you, I don't know anything. I said, okay, I'm going to send you a video clip of me at your age.
We can relate to that.
And the guy burst out laughing. He goes, man, you suck. And I said, that's my point. Now go out and start teaching, buddy. Uh-huh. And he did. Because if you compare yourself, you know, Einstein said it brilliantly. If you're a cat expecting to swim like a fish, you're going to beat yourself up and think there's something wrong with you. If you're a fish expecting to climb a tree like a cat, you're going to beat yourself up. But if you honor who you are and allow yourself to be the magnificent who you are, you're going to shine. Anytime we put somebody on a pedestal and we're too humble to admit what we see in them inside us, we play small. And that's a persona and a mask. That's not our authentic self. And our authentic self is where the power. And anytime we look down on somebody, which we will inevitably do, if we look up somebody, anytime we meet somebody else, we're going to compare them to them too. And we're going to look down on them and look up at them and get proud there and look shamed there and oscillate, have no stability and not be ourselves and lose our power. You focus on what is truly intrinsically a goal. It's really a meaningful to you, and not try to take in other people's goals, take in your goals. and stick to them, and your goals will become bigger goals. Every time you live authentically, your space and time horizons grow, and your certainty and your achievement capacities continue to grow incrementally by momentum building achievements. Mm-hmm. Patience pays off. So long-term vision pays off.
We created the 100-year real estate investor, and one of our co-founders had the 100-year mindset. Basically, what it is about responsibility, about character building. It's about the long-term horizon, which is very, very important. And we call it values-based decision-making. Our core values, yes, of Jake and Gino are growth mindset, people first, make it happen, unwavering ethics, extreme ownership. And we have a vivid vision of what Jake and Gino needs to look like 3 years from now. Now, we didn't stumble upon it. I had one restaurant for 20 years and got out of the restaurant business. And within 5 years, I had 1,500 apartment units. So that is all a culmination of those values. And I stumbled upon them with my partner through a training. Can you discuss how important it is for values? Because you said live to honor yourself. How you honor yourself is by creating those core values and by working on a long-term mindset. What are the steps to start doing that for everybody?
Well, everybody has a set of values automatically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're not here to be somebody else. Envy is ignorance and imitation is suicide. Mm-hmm. You can extract knowledge and procedures and actions that you see that are you can incorporate in your life, but you have your own unique set of values. If your highest value is raising a family and somebody else's values is building a $1 billion portfolio and somebody else is interested in doing something that's, they're all going to have different sets of values, mm-hmm, and trying to be somebody you're not will backfire. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to sustain it. So you need to know what your values are. That's why I want to let people know on my website at drdmartine.com, there's a value determination process. Mm-hmm. It's free. It's complimentary. It's private. Take advantage of it. But what it is 13 questions to look at what your life demonstrates and what you really value. Because a lot of people say fantasizing. Let me give an example. I had people, I was speaking in South Africa, about 5,000 people. And I asked, how many of you would love to be financially independent? All the hands went up. Some people put their feet up. And I said, okay, great. How many of you are now? Only 7 had passive income exceeding active income in that room, 5,000 people.
About 1%.
Not even.
About 1%. Now, yeah, less than 1%. Yeah. Now, what's interesting is I said, the reason why people are not being financially independent is because they confuse their fantasy with what they really value. So I'm going to prove it to you. So what I did is I told them to pull out a piece of paper and I want you to, I'm going to give you 1 minute. I'm going to give you $10 million. I want you to write down, if you got $10 million right now, what would you do with that $10 million? And I had them write it down. I said, on your mark, get set, go. You got 1 minute, go, 60 seconds. And they quickly write down the 10 things they would do with that $10 million. At the end of that 1 minute, I said, stop, hand it to the person on the left and calculate how much of that money is still usable assets. And between 20 and 80% of that $10 million was spent in 1 minute on consumables that depreciated in value. And as long as those individuals have those values, they're going to be looking for the Lamborghini. They're going to be looking for that. And all the gimmick people out there selling the fantasies out there are feeding those fantasies. And they're the ones that get rich, not the people that are buying all the fantasies. So first, you have to be really serious. Are you really committed to building wealth? Or are you wanting immediate gratification and consumable and living up the lifestyle to show off to your friends and don't have the patience to actually build it? And that's a huge thing in wealth building, regardless of the vehicle. So first, look at where you are in your values, what they really are, and then look at where wealth building really is on there. That's a very important thing to start there.
Can you expand your views on consumerism? Because, you know, for someone that is financially free, I'm very comfortable and I'm not looking for Lambos at this point in my life. I'm not looking for multiple houses. I'm living my values. And I think once you kind of get a taste of this stuff, you realize that okay, it's nice and everything, but ultimately it's not going to be fulfilling. It's not going to be rewarding after you've kind of driven like the sports car and things like that. So I think just sharing that with folks and creating a life of abundance is more involved with time freedom and living out your values. But I'd love to hear your take on that.
Well, immediate gratification cost, immediate gratification cost and things. Since the time of the pre-Socratic Greeks and time of Aristotle, he made a distinction between eudaimonia, which is well-being, and hedonism. And hedonism is a fleeting, transient, momentary dopamine high that you get temporarily from buying something and accumulated. But what it does is it becomes a trap. And it just, you know, the banks were interesting. The banks set up a thing to teach people how to become addicted to consumerism. If you do something and get pleasure by buying something on a credit card, but you don't get the pain for 30 days, you don't associate pain and pleasure together, mm-hmm, as if you did if you had cash and had to buy cash. Then you'd stop and think really carefully, is this related? Do I need this? Mm-hmm. So they separated pain and pleasure, which creates a dopamine and adrenaline responses. And what it does is it causes you to want to quote an impulse buy to get immediate gratification instead of long-term. People who want to build wealth, I always say, if it's exciting, you probably screwed up. If it's boring, you're on track.
That's right. That's
and if you're so sitting much there, if you're sitting there with a long-term methodical, sustainable, fair exchange model where you actually care about the customer and make sure they win and you win and it's fair, you will have a sustainable, referable mechanism that will build your business. But if you look for immediate gratification and you buy consumables that trap you, you're going to spend a whole lot of money on mortgages, taxes, stuff, repairs, securities, and you're going to spend your money away and it's going to be given to somebody else. When you really value wealth, you've put your money into something that goes up in value. When you don't value worth, you go and buy things that go down in value. It's basic, simple, common sense stuff. So people that do patiently invest in real assets, real properties that give returns, real assets, real companies and things. At first, they live simply and patient. But after a while, that starts to the eighth wonder of the world, compound interest and appreciation and capital gain. All that stuff gets so big that you actually have a crescendo of life and you can have that lifestyle anytime you want, if you want it. But the people that want to get it right away, immediate gratification, end up having a decrescendo as they get older in life because they've overspent their money and they're basically let money rule them. You're either a master of money or a slave to money. And a master of money is thinking patient, methodical, wealth-building strategies, which you guys are dedicated to, instead of immediate gratification and showing off and proving something, yes, which is a sign of your own, yes, insecurity.
Would you say that those are pleasures and there's a difference between those pleasures and actual happiness?
Well, fulfillment, I like the word fulfillment or eudaimonia. Fulfillment occurs when you realize you're doing something that's deeply meaningful. You guys know, I can tell, I can look in your eyes. You guys know what it's like to get a letter from one of your clients and said, I really did something. I made another incremental change. I made a difference, right, from the education you gave them. It brings you a tear to the eye. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That's fulfillment. Mm-hmm. You go buy some nice piece of clothes or whatever. That's cool for about maybe 15 minutes, and you might have a nice first night you wear it. The second night you wear it to that, it's a transient thing and it sits in your closet. And a quarter of your wealth is sitting in storage. A quarter of your money
is sitting
in storage.
It never fits the same after that first time. Maybe my wife's not washing right.
I know somebody that has 25% of their home is storing depreciables. Stop and think about that. The garage, the closets, all store immediate gratifying depreciables. Mm-hmm. And I'm a simple guy. I'm a minimalist. My objective with financial independence was not financial independence, but 100 times financial independence. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that way, I can do philanthropic work with it. I can do amazing things with that and transform people's lives. Mm-hmm. So if you're sitting there just looking for immediate gratification, it's going to cost long-term. Mm-hmm. So patience, like you say, you just said it really well. Long-term vision, 30 to 100-year visions at least. I got a 1,000-year vision, 100-year vision, and strategically, methodically, patiently, I won't say boringly, but I will say with patience and appreciation. Gratitude is true wealth. When you're grateful for your life on a daily basis, you know you've got some wealth.
So Dr. DeMartini, I'd like to add a couple of things to that. Everyone needs to know the difference between a need and a want. I teach my kids that all the time. I need something or I want something. If you can distinguish both of them, you can make intelligent decisions. The second part I'd like to really talk about is I'm not a huge fan of Dave Ramsey, but when he talks about cutting the credit cards, there's a reason why. It's that pain pleasure kind of thing. If you can't control yourself and you don't understand about that immediate gratification, you shouldn't own a credit card. I've got multiple. Pay the balance off every month. It's understandable. That's how we teach our children the immediate gratification. The next part about it is number 5 and number 6 in the basic human needs. 5 is growth and 6 is contribution. That's when you're living your amazing life. When you can continue to grow and live in a life of abundance and not one of scarcity, game over. Our students have closed over 23,000 units, over $1 billion in assets under management. It's taken me over 5 years to get to where we are with the Jake and Gino community. I would say at least 50 students, if not more, 70 students have become financially free through this vehicle. And like you said, every email and every student closing, I'm documenting. We send out a closers club box to them when they do their first deal. It's truly inspiring to me. And I know that I've done something and I've created something and I want to leave a legacy. We're all about legacy building here. And when I'm done, I want my children to look at their dad and go, Dad, you are freaking and awesome. You helped a lot of people. I've got 6 kids, so I've got a really high bar to raise to them and to show them what a steward is. I want to be a financial steward to our money, to our community, and to my children. And how do we do that? Do that by living that life of abundance. And it's not going to happen overnight. Now, it doesn't have to take 20 years either. I left the restaurant in 2016. I bought my first deal with Jake in 2013. So within 3 years of our first deal, guess what? I was quote unquote financially free from the restaurant. Now it took a couple of years before then to do the hard work, but still I knew what my values were, you know, consciously. I always focused on those, and it's the Diderot effect. I didn't go out there and get a pay increase to go out and to buy another car. I actually invested that money. So I had the discipline to do that. So everything you're saying with me is just striking a chord inside of me, and knowing that I'm glad we've done this recording, because I know that I've led a purposeful life and I'm here for a reason. And I'm playing with house money, as they say. When you figure out your life, you're playing with house money. I mean, it's just every day you want to get up and just continue to do the same.
One thing I just learned right now is that you had sex twice as much as I did. I have only 3 kids.
it depends. You might have hit more than he did.
I got to ask this question. 4 action steps to empower your life. Let's go with those.
You had a better percentage, steps. Maybe. Huh?
Better closing rate.
4 action steps to empower your life. Let's go over those.
First, determine what hierarchy of values are. Mm-hmm. And don't waste your time setting goals that don't match what's highest. Because mm-hmm. you're not going to inspire your life living in low priority things. Mm-hmm. Every time you live by highest priority things, you raise your self-worth. Every time you do lower priority things, you lower self-worth. When you lower self-worth, your amygdala comes online and you look for immediate gratification. When you raise your self-worth, your executive center comes online and you're governed and you're disciplined and you're focused. Mm-hmm. So first, identify what your values are. 2, don't waste your time on goals that aren't truly, truly meaningful, that are really, truly inspiring to you. That you're willing to do whatever it takes to get, because that'll be the determining force that'll give you the patience. 3, make a list of every responsibility that you have, prioritize those things, and get somebody to help you do the lower priority things. Because as long as you're not doing the highest priority and sticking to it, you're going to devalue yourself. Delegate. Surround yourself with people who can do the things that are the non-most productive things and get on with the absolute most productive things, which is about caring about your customer, making sure you find out what their real needs are and making sure you do diligence to get the right properties and things to get this thing moving. Make sure you're focused on that, not low priority stuff. And then on another thing is metric your daily actions to look at what worked and what didn't work and pay attention to it and not keep repeating the same behaviors expecting different results. Ask yourself at the end of the day, what worked and what didn't work? What worked, what didn't work? How do I do it more effectively, efficiently tomorrow? And then no matter what happened, how is it helping me get my objectives? That way you realize it's nothing to do with the world on the outside. It has everything to do with your perception, decisions, and actions on the inside. Mm-hmm. But ask yourself what worked, what didn't work today, and how do I do it more effectively, efficiently tomorrow?
You time block you time block your schedule?
Well, I only have 4 things I do: research, write, travel, teach. The travel is happening while I'm teaching because I don't have to do anything. I've got that delegated with the captain. Mm-hmm. But what I do is basically research, write every single day, and teach. And whatever the times are and time zones and podcasts and webinars and things like that, I have somebody that's already set up for that. They already got my priority list. I delegate it to them. They structure it. They give me an itinerary and I just stick to the itinerary.
Wow. I love this, everybody. Write this down, the priorities. Identify your values, 1. Goals need to be meaningful, 2. 3, list of all responsibilities, prioritize. And 4, metric daily activity. And what that means is your KPIs, your key performance indicators. If you can't measure it, then you can't manage it, which is truly important, which is what led to our explosive growth. We have net promoter scores. We have eNPS scores. We have all different vacant, unrented. We have KPIs for every part of our business. And if you don't do that for your personal life, guess what? You're going to screw up. Doctor, I want to ask you a question about mindset, because I just finished reading David Goggins' book. And one thing that struck a chord to me with that book was you said prioritize the stuff that you don't like to do. For so many years, I did stuff that I hated to do at the restaurant, worked 15 hours, sweated. I hated that. And it gave me a tough mindset. And then when I came on to the Jake and Gino community, I started growing. And then at a certain point, I started delegating it out. But I did grow that mindset of really toughness and really pushing it through and grinding it out. Can you discuss mindset a little bit and how it helps on a person's journey?
Anytime you see things that you feel you have to do, got to do, you're creating an inflammatory response in your physiology, affecting uh-huh. your cardiovascular system, digestive system, skin. I mean, mm-hmm. your whole physiology is screaming. If you don't learn to delegate lower priority things and surround yourself with people more competent than you at doing that, so you can get on to doing what your greatest competence is, mm-hmm. your core competence, which may be doing deals or maybe managing and inspiring teams. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. You're going to wear yourself down and you may have endured it. Some people confuse, discipline and forcing yourself to do something. I'm not about that, because I guarantee you, I've been studying physiology for 40 something years. You're not going to come out ahead. It's going to wear you down and affect your physiology over time. It's going to age you. Mm-hmm. If you're saying to yourself, I got to do it, I have to do it, I must do it, I need to do it, you're in somebody else's land. Stick to the thing that you're inspired to do. Surround yourself with people that know what they're doing, so you're freed and not micromanaging. And what happens if you don't get those people that are competent? You'll think, I got to do it. There's a book called The Time Trap by Ella McKenzie, and he talks very important, the trappers of time. And one of them is thinking, I can do it better than them, so I better do it, or no one ever seems to be able to do it, so I got to do it. All those things trap people. Finding the right people whose highest value is to do that job. If you ever hire somebody who knows less about it than you, you're already off track. You need to get A people that know how to do those things and let that be free. I'm sure that when you found the people that you've delegated to that are really masters of what they do, it's like, whew, they take care of it.
Yes.
The more you have to surround yourself with that. Imagine running 300 companies like Richard Branson. He can't do that as a human being, but he can do that with quality people. Mm-hmm. Same for Buffett. If he's got high quality people, he can do that, and he can go read his financial statements and study and look for the next investment. Mm-hmm. That's what his expertise is. Mine is teaching, researching, writing. I don't do anything else. I delegate everything. And that frees me up to be able to have my mind clear, less noise, not distressed, no aging. I'm 67. I got more energy than most people. Most people don't think I look 67. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, it's because I've delegated and given job opportunities and helped the economy in that way, in addition to free me up to produce more income for my own financial independence and philanthropy.
So one thing, and this is just a realization I've had in the last few months, is that we've always looked for competency. But on the other side of that is, how positive is the person? And what I've realized over the last few months is that sometimes we've had competent people who are negative, and I will never do that again. And I've realized there's been two positions recently within an organization that we've moved on from and got people in that were positive, and there's been such a stark difference. So I just want to put this out there, because if I've went through it, I know other people are dealing with this as well. Make sure that the people are not only competent, but also positive, because that can be soul sucking and draining as well. And you're talking about optimization. That's not going to lead you to a life that you want to live. And so I just caution people on that. Yeah.
There's a very important question you ask, and I've taught this to major companies. If you ask somebody that you think is a candidate for a position, and you have a very clear and articulated job description, and you go through and ask them a simple question, you do a value determination, like on my website, but value determination, and you determine what they really value, and you look at what that's highest value is, the top three, and ask them a simple question. Here's the job description I'm going to be asking you to do. How specifically is doing that action going to help you fulfill your top value? If they look at you and they go, that means they're not inspired by that. If they have to hem and haw and question and wonder and have to take more than a hundredth of a second to answer fluently an answer, they're not engaged in that. If you go to the next one, now how specific is doing this action going to help you fulfill your top value? If they have an answer, their eyes will light up. They'll be inspired. You can feel it. They'll be energized and they can go, yeah, I can do that. That's what I've dreamed about. That's what their energy will be different, and they're not expecting that. So if you ask them how specific is doing these job duties helping you fulfill what's most meaningful to you, what your life is dedicated to, if they can't answer that with fluency, at least 80% of it, don't hire them. You're going to end up micromanaging those people, pushing them uphill, and you're going to, and it's a lesson, as Peter Drucker said, it's a lesson to you on your management skills and hiring skills. And it all goes down to the buck of the leader. If the individual doesn't get somebody that's inspired to do that, they're going to end up having to micromanage, motivate. And motivation's a symptom. It's not a solution. If you happen to motivate them extrinsically, you haven't got them in the right man on the bus, as Colin says, that is intrinsically driven to do the job. It has to be something they're inspired intrinsically to do that job for you to release it, to get on with what you do without having to think about it.
So we had Steve Robinson, the CMO of Chick-fil-A. He retired a few years ago on our podcast. He calls it the three C's. You want character, competency, and chemistry. That's what you're looking for in somebody working for the organization. Now it's up to Jake and I to provide that vision. And for us, we have definite visions for each entity that we have, and we're looking for those individuals. And, you know, we always talk about it in our businesses. It's people, systems, and culture. If you don't have the right people working on the bus, it's going to be a very, very big problem. So I just wanted to add to that. I think what you guys are both discussing is truly important. And it's very hard, Dr. DeMartini, what you're talking about. I take it personally because for me, when I started my companies, I didn't have that mindset. I was living that catabolic, that negative energy, right? Until I hit that anabolic level, you know, I went to coaching school and I realized it was very difficult. David Goggins, same thing. He was always had that chip on his shoulder, working through it, working through it. As an entrepreneur, you start out in one way. You start out the I'm a mentality. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We do everything together. But you need to shed that person. How do you do that? Through personal growth, through listening to Dr. D's podcast and his trainings, through going through the education and working on personal development. You need to shed that person. And sometimes it takes some of us, me especially, a little bit longer to do that. But I will promise you, everybody out there, if you can tackle that and do that through personal growth and shed the old person, because we need the old person in the beginning, because Jake and I were cutting the grass, we're collecting rents ourselves, we're going to the bank, all these menial tasks that you're talking about, suffering through that. And like you said, that's not your sole passion. That's not what you're doing. We're doing deals this morning. That's what's really energizing us. And on this podcast, if you don't figure that out, then it's going to be a tough haul. But I think everybody, if they just stop and have that self-awareness, I think they can do it. You want to add anything to that?
No, I believe, yeah, completely spot on there.
No, can I say, the shedding of that are the personas and masks that you wear from the judgments and comparisons you have towards others. Mm-hmm. Focus on your vision. Walk the path of authenticity and you won't have as much to shed.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you try to exaggerate. Anytime you exaggerate yourself, you tend to set too big a goals in too short a time frame without a strategy. Mm-hmm. Anytime you minimize yourself, you set too small a goals in too long a time frame and doesn't drive you. But when you actually know yourself, you'll set real goals, real times that are real strategic, that are sensible, and you'll get the results. And then you'll end up setting bigger goals and bigger goals and bigger goals naturally without any puff. If you find yourself proud and you're wanting to tell everybody about your achievements and you're extroverted, you're on your way down. If you're humble and you're minimized, it's time to get appreciative, because the things that you do on the outside there, that the success and failures, they're distractions from your mission of service. The authentic individual knows that they pursue. Just like a child that loves his video games, the second he conquers a video game, he goes to a more advanced one that's more challenging. A sign that you're authentic and inspired and congruent and on priority is that you're looking for bigger challenges, and that means more people to serve. If you're focused on serving ever greater numbers of people, in the book of the Wealth by Hubert Helm Bancroft, he said there are three things common to the super wealthy people. They felt by divine providence and human sovereignty they were destined to serve vast numbers of people. That meant serving vast numbers of people. Mm-hmm. Number two, that they raise the standard of society incrementally for the sake of investing in inspiration, not rescuing desperation. And the third is that they had transcended the infatuations or resentments to money and saw money as a means to accomplish what's inside their heart and a measuring mechanism to show how much service they provide. When you get to those levels, then you end up manifesting.
Mm-hmm. Last question before I go to the short answers. For me, this is more of a self-serving question for myself. As I become more successful on the exterior, made more money, great family, great podcast, written several books, it seems as if sometimes I don't enjoy the process and I'm on to the next thing because we're hyper-focused and we want to succeed and we want to achieve. How do you slow me down and say, hey, Gino, enjoy what you just did? We have 800 people coming to our live event this weekend. We're looking to do 600. 800 is a massive achievement. I'm already thinking about MM5 next year. How do you slow me down and say, hey, Gino, chill out a little bit. You've done something amazing here. Enjoy it, revel it, look back, reflect, but you need to take a moment to enjoy it.
We'll take a message from Socrates, okay? Socrates, and then down to Plato and down to Aristotle, down to Theosophus, all of the guys down the line. He said, I'm the most ignorant. They called him the wisest man in history, right? Socrates, mm-hmm. One of the wisest men. And because he realized that no matter what you know, what you don't know is always outside it. Mm-hmm. And that's potentially infinite compared to what you know. And therefore, what you know is an infinitesimal. The second you think you've got your crap together, you find out that you're full of crap.
So we have that in our presentation, I think.
what, you're not here for the feeling, oh, I did this. You're here on a mission. And when you're on a mission and you're delegating, you're not so much focused on what you achieved or didn't achieve. You're just focused on the service and consistently focus on it. So yeah, you want to have that vision, but you want to delegate. And if you're overwhelmed, you're not delegating. Mm-hmm. If you're inspired and you're taking actions and you're not questioning it and you know that you can do it, you're going to keep manifesting that. So don't ever allow yourself to get to the idea that I'm successful or I'm failure. Get focused on your mission. A man or a woman on a mission is far more profound than a person addicted to an outcome they think is successful.
Great. All right, gang, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, buy right, manage right, and finance right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now. All right, we're back. I think we're going to call this one Authenticity Feels Good. You know, maybe we'll leave that one there for Mackenzie. We'll see what she says about that. You know, working with billionaires, okay? You talked about optimizing lives. What is the first step you take with a billionaire? What typically, how are you taking someone and looking at their situation and evaluating? What does that look like?
It all depends. I mean, when I get to interact with them, it may be a crisis that they're facing. It may be a relationship issue. It may be a business decision. I mean, I had a gentleman that was sitting there, is on a public company, and he was having this moral dilemma about, you know, do I fudge the numbers and buy some time and get this solution solved? Or do I take the risk and have this? All these ethical issues are fitting on their face, and they're having moral dilemmas because they're frightened about losing their identity. And then they also have, you know, how do I build my business? And what about my wife? If she leaves me, what will happen? It all depends on what they're facing, or their husband. Could be just as many for women. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm going to face when I get in with working with somebody. I just know that I have a solution. We can come up with a solution. There's no problem on this planet that doesn't have a solution. And it goes down to something in human behavior, something that they're perceiving, deciding, or acting upon. But it could be financial, it could be business, it could be relationship, it could be social, it could be ethical. I don't know what it's going to be. I just find, we start asking questions, we go down a kind of a checklist, we kind of come up with what that is. And they usually have an idea. They already know what's inside them that's mm-hmm. in turmoil, or they wouldn't be contacting. Mm-hmm. And so they know, they already have their own solutions, believe it or not, but they're looking for brain offload because they're overwhelmed by the variables that are sitting there, and they haven't narrowed it down with a methodical system. Their levels of heuristics are in trial and error instead of pre-planning and thinking in advance many times. So my job is to not be attached and ask methodical questions, narrow them through the process, let them come out on the other side.
Pull it out. I'm going to stick with the optimization here. What is your best habit for success?
Not doing low priority things.
I knew that was
coming. And not getting distracted, not getting distracted by other people's expectations, saying, learning how to say thank you, but no thank you. Screw off.
You know, he's the dealer, right? He's sending it out. You mentioned a few books. Any books that you've read in the last year that you want to share with the folks to add value to someone else's life?
Well, I know this is going to sound a bit abstract for some people that may not be thinking in terms of, they're going to be thinking, you know, what's a business book or what's a financial book? But I still think that the two great books that people can benefit by, which is a PhD on life, not just about business and finance, because it's about life, mm-hmm. is by Mortimer Adler, what is called Syntopicon 1 and 2. Syntopicon 1 and 2 is one of the great books from the Encyclopedia Britannica, the Great Ideas series. And what it is the most important ideas that the most intelligent individuals for the last 3,400 years or 500 years that they thought of and worked through and came up with solutions to, that's sitting in these two books. So it's a mind game. And what it does is it covers things, you know, on your perception of the world, your vision, what your relationship to your own morals and ethics, how you manifest your decision-making process. It's a very broad book. It's not for everybody at first when they read it. But once they go through it, they realize, okay, this guy's given me a mindset of how to master my life. Then what happens, whatever my goals are sitting inside that structure. So those are the two books that I recommend. those. And it's not a, you know, how to get rich quick book. It's a mindset. Of course,
sometimes is the last thing people need. You know, they need the mindset first, and then they can pick a vehicle that's going to take them there. So,
yeah, I always say that if you want to make a difference in yourself, you need a vision as big as your family. If you want to make a difference in your family, you need a vision as big as your community. If you want to make a difference in your community, you need a vision as big as your city. If you want to make a difference in the city, be number one in the city, you need a vision as big as your state or province. If you want to make a difference in your state and be a leader in the state, you need a national vision. If you want to be a national leader, you need a global vision. But if you want to make a global impact, you need an astronomical vision. Seneca, the Roman poet and mystic and politician, said, you measure an individual by their most distant ends. The magnitude of space that they can encompass in their dreams and time that they can see in their mind will determine the level of conscious evolution that they obtain and what they have impact and how they change. Because as Einstein said, the
elaborate on that. I'm not totally there on that. So just elaborate on that a little bit in terms of.
Okay, I'll give an example. Yeah. I was doing a tour through Australia with Mahasinathambi. Mahasinathambi is a guy from Malaysia, came from poverty, came to Australia, saw a vision, wanted to create a new city, not a high rise, not a flipping apartment, but a whole city. So he got a vision of this. He looked at where would that place be, figured out a way of getting the land for this thing, and is now building a city that's on its way to have 100,000 people in it in 25 years. And will be one of the fastest growing cities in Australia. And he was a visionary holding a city in his mind. Mm-hmm. I've got another guy right here who's a billionaire I just had breakfast with this morning. And he's on a commitment to 500 million illiterate children solving it. So he's opening up illiterate systems all over the world, in Nicaragua and Malaysia and India and all kinds of places, Africa. So he's taken a problem. The bigger the problem you focus on, the bigger results you get. But no, you don't go there and just do this massive thing. You work your way incrementally in how you get there. But the bigger the vision, the bigger the life. And that's why I say that the six steps to wealth, you need to have a cause greater than yourself in order to get beyond yourself. If you don't have a cause bigger than yourself, you'll sit there and get caught in your own emotions. Mm-hmm. So the bigger the vision, the bigger the life you get. How big is your vision? When you live incrementally and build momentum by achievement, that automatically, spontaneously grows with every achievement.
So you just mentioned those kids. You mentioned in the beginning yourself, you had challenges with learning early on. Myself, I very much struggled in high school. I actually just hated to read and I really struggled with it, but I'm great with Audible. I've probably read hundreds of books, you know, or listened to hundreds of books via Audible. I'm just not good sitting here reading it. It bores me. I can't do it. Talk about your challenges early on and how you broke through to become such an avid lifelong learner.
Well, I had learning problems as a child. I had a speech impediment when I was 1.5. I had to do all these muscle exercises and strings and buttons in my mouth. I had an arm and leg that was deformed and turned inward when I was a child. So I had to wear braces and clunky things and got a lot of rejections. When I got to first grade, I was told I would never be able to read or write, probably not communicate effectively, never mount anything, never go very far in life. I ended up living on the streets when I was 13 until I was 18. At 18, right before 18, about a week before my 18th birthday, I met an amazing teacher that shifted my mindset. And he basically said that, you know, we have the capacity, what we say to ourselves, what we think for ourselves, how we feel about ourselves, how we take actions every day and what inspires us. If we can go in after that and focus on that, take command of that, we can change our lives. That shifted my life. And that day I made a decision that I saw myself as a teacher traveling around and overcoming my learning problems, figuring out how to read and study and learn and teach. So I started to go incrementally. I mean, I literally read a dictionary with my mom's help. I memorized a word, another word, 30 words a day, spelling, pronunciation, meaning, etc., until my vocabulary was strong enough to go back to school after being a high school dropout and then go on to become a scholar. But I had to do it incrementally, little by little. You hold the massive vision, you chunk it down into a strategic plan, you break it down on a daily action and stick to the daily action. If you're doing the highest priority actions every single day that give you your dream, you're going to get there. And you have to make sure that you're not doing lower priority things and not doing goal overrun, where you're setting yourself up with massive amounts of things to do and not delegating and feeling overwhelmed and then hesitating. Just small incremental steps on a daily basis that are highest in priority, delegating to lower, will make an unstoppable mission.
That's fantastic. The best place for folks to get a hold of you?
All they have to do is go to my drdmartini.com, where they can go and do the value determination process, free, complimentary, it's private. Just go there. There's so much on there that could keep you busy for the rest of your life.
All right. So folks have a little bit of work ahead of them, Gino. Gino's somewhat of a recapper. You wanna bring this one home for us right
well,
now?
Well, Dr. DeMartini, you know, he did a great job 30 seconds ago, but I'm going to recap because there's a couple of quotes that I'd love to add at the end. And for everybody out there who has excuses, you can have all the excuses you want, but were you challenged as a young boy? Were you living on the streets from 13 to 18 years old? If you weren't, you have no excuse. And if you were, go on, because Dr. DeMartini found that person at 18 years old. Because whenever you're seeking something, it usually shows up in your life. Making that faithful decision, putting in the hard work, 30 words a day. Some people don't do 30 words a year, 30 words a day, working on it. Very important. I love these two quotes that I just wrote down. Don't get extracted. Don't get distracted by other people's expectations. Let me say that one more time. Don't get distracted by other people's expectations. And the second one is, how big is your vision? This has been a huge podcast talking about vision. We're not talking about buying one multifamily. We're talking about building cities. If people can build cities out there, that means that your vision may be a little too small if you're looking at a 10 unit or 20 unit. Start expanding your vision. But it takes work. It takes perseverance. It takes personal development. And it takes being able to find an accountability partner. If you can't do it by yourself, find people out there that will help you. And I love the idea of going out there and delegating. You can't do everything. Find people that you can surround yourself that can help you with your vision. Life is lonely at the top by yourself. Go out and help people and always focus on always adding service and being a steward to others. That's my basic takeaways, Jake.
Doc, just want to say thank you so much for your time and your wisdom. Absolute delight. And you're just doing such amazing work out there for folks. So it was a pleasure. And thanks again for coming on the show today.
Thanks, doctor.
Thank you for having me on the show. Thank you for what you're doing, because you're the model and the presentation and what you're doing and the message you're bringing and the principles of ethics in the field is a goldmine for people. So whoever's out there, take advantage of what I've just learned from these two masters here. Take it and go with it, because I guarantee you that they're going to help you go into not only build your dream financially, but build your life wisely.
Love that.
Well said. Thanks, Doc.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care, gang.